think we're ready to go. Let me just check to make sure this is streaming properly. Yep, it is. It looks like everything is under control. Just one second. Okay. And then we will chant. Today is Ekadashi. So on Ekadashi, we try to chant some extra rounds.
Alrighty.
That's the best way to celebrate Ekadashi, rather than physical austerities. Well, actually, physical austerities, whatever. But the extra chanting of the Lord's holy name, so I chanted 68 rounds today. Okay.
Yeah.
Paramahansa, Parabhikacharya, also Teta, said to Shri Srimad, His Divine Grace, Abhaya Chalatnana Bhaktivananda, Goswami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya, Srila Huidas Thakur Ki Jai, Paramse Goh Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda Sidvaita Gadadha, Sri Vasili Gaur Vakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopakupta, Sayam Kund Radhakunda, Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Vrindavan Ki Jai, Maturidham Ki Jai, Jagadatha Sami Ki Jai, Yubudabai Ki Jai, Shrimati Lasidevi Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bom. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya. Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamani. Namaste Saraswati Devi. Gauravani Pacharani Nevishesha Shudnyavadi. Paschacha Deja Tarani. So, Omagana Timidanda Shaganjana Shalakya Jakshurun Miritam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances under the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So we left off in the middle of a purport, text 108 in the Majjalila, chapter 15. And this purport was about initiation and purushcharya. Purushcharya, that means the purification that occurs before initiation. And then what does initiation mean? It's some sophisticated technical details. Of course, as we mentioned yesterday in class, the Acharya has the ability to adjust some of those things, as Srila Prabhupada did when he went to Australia for the first or second time and installed the deities of Gopinath, and he just initiated everybody on the spot. Even first, second initiation, and he was praying to Gopinath. He said, I am leaving you in the hands of the maleches. So please, you'll have to arrange everything. And Gopinath arranged everything. So of course, we cannot imitate a pure devotee, but we have Srila Prabhupada's example, and that's very important that we follow Srila Prabhupada's example in this regard. So let us go to the Chaitanya Charitamrita and start the reading and commenting. So, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Mukta Vrinda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. So we're in the middle of the purport here, right where you see in the beginning, it says similarly. Okay, let us continue. Similarly, the Ramarachana Chandrika states, Vinayva Diksham Vipendra Purushcharyam Vinayvahi Vinayva Nyasa Vidina Japamant Matrena Siddhita. O best of the Brahmanas, even without initiation, pure preliminary purification or acceptance of the renounce order, one can attain perfection in devotional service simply by chanting the Lord's holy name. Wow. Of course, taking initiation is essential. Because one needs guidance in how to serve the Lord and how to chant the Lord's holy names. So there may be an exceptional case where someone simply chants the Lord's holy name, but actually even if they simply chant the Lord's holy name, they're getting initiated by hearing from a pure devotee. Because by hearing the Maha Mantra from a pure devotee, then that's a type of initiation. So here, let's talk about this, what appears to be a contradiction. So initiation technically means, in this particular context, not Harinam initiation, but initiation which is called Mantra Diksha. Mantra Diksha means, what does it mean? Getting the Gayatri Mantra, and after some time one gets some purification. But anyway, one gets the Gayatri Mantra after the Purushcharya. So this is really what's being referred to here as initiation. However, hearing the holy names and taking a vow to chant a certain number of holy names is also initiation, but that's not really what's being referred to here. What's being referred to here is Panturatraka Vidhi, as you're going to hear later on in this particular purport. Panturatraka Vidhi means the deity worship process. And the chanting of the whole Lord's holy name is Bhagavat Vidhi. Okay, so we got two things. Bhagavat Vidhi, Panturatraka Vidhi. Okay. And Prabhupada compared both of these processes of initiation to be like two rails of a train. You know, a train goes on two rails, unless you happen to be going on a monorail train, and you need both rails. But if you have a monorail, you can go on one rail. So one gets initiated into the chanting of the Lord's holy name, the Maha Mantra. That is sufficient even if one doesn't get Pancharatraki Vidhi initiation, which means Brahman initiation. It's sufficient to take one back to Godhead, because the Hare Krishna Mantra takes one back to the spiritual world. The Pancharatraka system takes one to the border of the spiritual world. But to go into the spiritual world, you need the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Okay. Hope that's clear. So that's why it says one can attain perfection in the previous paragraph. One can attain perfection in devotional service simply by chanting the Lord's holy name. In other words, the holy name does not wait for Pancharatraka or Pancharatraki initiation. So in our Krishna conscious movement, we have what? Harinam initiation. Now, previously, in most cases, in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, you did not have a separate initiation for Harinam initiation. One was given the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but it really wasn't considered initiation. But Srila Prabhupada considered it to be initiation and sufficient to take one back to the spiritual world, and necessary also in logical terms. In other words, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is so powerful that it does not depend on official initiation, but if one is initiated and engages in Pancharatra Vidhi, deity worship, his Krishna consciousness will awaken very soon and his identification with the material world will be vanquished. In other words, it helps. Pancharatraka initiation, Pancharatraki system helps one change one's identification from matter to spirit. In other words, it helps one, if one takes it properly, chant the holy names better, with more purity, with the right consciousness. The more one is freed from material identification, the more one can realize that the spirit soul is qualitatively as good as the supreme soul. Qualitatively means he's not as big as the supreme soul, but he has the same qualities as Krishna does. At such a time, when one is situated on the absolute platform, one can understand that the holy name of the Lord and the Lord himself are identical. At that stage of realization, the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna mantra, cannot be identified with any material sound. If one accepts the Hare Krishna Maha mantra as a material vibration, he falls down. One should worship and chant the holy name of the Lord by accepting it as the Lord himself. One should therefore be initiated properly according to the real scriptures under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master. Although chanting the holy name is good for both the conditioned and liberated soul, it is especially beneficial to the conditioned soul because by chanting it, one is liberated. When a person who chants the holy name is liberated, he attains the ultimate perfection by returning home back to Godhead. In the words of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela 7:73, Krishna mantra hayate habi samsaramochana, Krishna nama hayate pavi krishnara charanha. Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one can obtain freedom from material existence. Indeed, simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one will be able to see the lotus feet of the Lord. The offenseless chanting of the holy name does not depend on the initiation process. Although initiation may depend on purascharya or purascharana, the actual chanting of the holy name does not depend on purascharya vidhi or the regulated principles. If one chants the holy name even once without committing an offense, he attains all success. During the chanting of the holy name, the tongue must work. Simply by chanting the holy name, one is immediately delivered. The tongue is seva mukha jiho. It is controlled by service. One whose tongue is engaged in tasting material things and also talking about them cannot use the tongue for absolute realization. So Prabhupada here said something very interesting. Actually, he also said in another place that when one chants, the tongue and the lips should move. Not that they have to move tremendously, but something like Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Because one can't pronounce the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra without moving the lips and the tongue. Just try it. Let's see if I don't move my tongue. If I don't move my lips, both are required to pronounce the holy name. So you have to see, when you are chanting, even if you're chanting softly, and I tend to chant very softly, and sometimes like even whisper type, I make sure that I move my lips and tongue. Like that. Even though you couldn't hear what I'd said, I heard, and I was moving my lips and my tongue. Very important. Don't just try to chant, you won't work. Lips and tongue, Prabhupada said. So here's a quote from the Majalila. Atakshi Krishna Namadi Nabhavit Krayamindriyai Seva Mukhehi Jivadu Swayamevas Brachada Majalila 17:136. With the material senses, one cannot understand the transcendental holy name of the Lord or his form, activities, and pastimes. But when one actually engages in devotional service, utilizing the tongue, the Lord is revealed. So tongue is very, very important. As it is said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Atayiva Krishnera Nama Deya Vilasa Prakritendriya Graya Nahi Hoya Swa Prakasha. The holy name of Krishna, his body, and his pastimes cannot be understood by the blunt material senses. They are manifested independently. So the holy name or chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the most important thing. And it helps, well, it's essential, to give up one's bodily identification. But with the chanting of the Lord's holy names, there are no rules and regulations, no rules in Niyamena Tishtam. It means there's no Vedic rules and regulations. You don't have to do any mudras or special whatever, postures or breathe in a certain way. It doesn't have to be at a certain time of the day. It's always effective. And when you're preaching Krishna consciousness, you don't have to insist that people first of all follow the regulated principles. They can chant the Lord's holy names even if they are maluches, even if they're dog eaters or cat eaters or snake eaters. It doesn't matter. Get them to chant. The whole point is to get people to chant and let them hear the holy name from someone who is following purely. It will not be effective if they hear the holy name from someone who is not following purely. If you're following purely, you are empowered by Prabhupada to actually give the Shuddha Nam, the pure name. Otherwise, you are not giving the actual name. You may be giving Namabhash. Namabhash means a reflection of the name. And that's not bad, but it's not going to take them to the spiritual world. It's not going to give them pure Krishna consciousness. So they have to hear from a pure Vaishnava, one who's following purely, serving his spiritual master, and then Bhavanti Ritkarna, Rasayana Katat, Joshana Dasu, Abhavarka Varpani. Then the sound vibration will enter from the ear to the heart, and guess what? Bhavanti Ritkarna, Rasayana Katat. They will feel such ecstasy. And then Abhavarka Varpani. They'll proceed on the path of Apavarga. Apavarga means the opposite of Pavarga. You know, when you put an A in front of a word, it means something different. So Pavarga means basically suffering in the material world, working hard, foaming at the mouth because you're working so hard, fainting, and ultimately, mrityu, dying. So you can transcend all these things by Apavarga Vartmani, proceeding on the path of Apavarga. That means liberation. And then the path of Apavarga Vartmani is known by the different road signs, just like every path has different road signs. Shraddha, Ratir, Bhaktir, Anukramashati, which follow one after the other. One is initial faith or faith, Ratir, a taste where you can't stop chanting, and then finally, love of Krishna. Anukramashati, they follow one after the other. So that's the path of Apavarga Vartmani. Okay, next text. Anusanga palekare samsare rakshaya chitakarshiya karaya krishne pramotoya. By chanting the holy name of the Lord, one dissolves his entanglement in material activities. After this, one becomes very much attracted to Krishna, and thus dormant love for Krishna is awakened. And that's the process that I just mentioned. Apavarga Vartmani. Shraddha. Ratir. Shraddha. One gets a taste, attraction to chanting the holy name of the Lord. And bhakti. One gets the dormant love for Krishna is awakened. That's really interesting. That's interesting. Prema Udaya. That means it arouses transcendental love, which is already dormant in the heart. This actually answers the question of whether we get Krishna consciousness or our Krishna consciousness gets awakened. Of course, we know when the spiritual master is heard from by the conditioned soul, then the bhakti lata bij, the seed of the creeper of devotion, is implanted in one's heart. But actually, you know, that metaphor is there. But actually, one has devotion. It's just covered. It's a question of uncovering it, and then you realize who you are. And I realized that in Krishna consciousness many years ago, that Krishna consciousness was a process of awakening and coming to the realization of who I already was. That's all you have to do. It's a natural process. Like Prabhupada said, it's not an artificial imposition on the mind. Artificial imposition on the mind would be if I tried to brainwash you in the pejorative sense and convince you that you were something, you were a dog or a cat. Of course, you can still become that in the next life. Anyway, but we are actually brainwashing because we are cleaning the brain, the mind, of course. Ceto darpanam arjanam. That means mind washing. So who can deny that? So if your brain is dirty, if your mind is dirty, it needs some cleaning. Put it in the washing machine of the holy name. Okay, let's go on. Akrishti krita chaitasam sumanasam chatanam chamasam achandalam amukaloka sulabo vaishyascha mukti shriyaha no diksham cha satkriyam. I'll answer that later. Na cha purusharyam anak ikshate mandroyam rasanas brigheva palati shi krishna namat makaha. The holy name of Lord Krishna is an attractive feature for many saintly liberal people. It is the annihilator of all sinful reactions and is so powerful that save for the dumb who cannot chant it, it is readily available to everyone, including the lowest type of man, the chandala. The holy name of Krishna is the controller of the opulence of liberation, and it is identical with Krishna. When a person simply chants the holy name with his tongue, immediate effects are produced. Chanting the holy name does not depend on initiation, pious activities, or the purest charya regulative principles generally observed before initiation. The holy name does not wait for any of these activities. It is self-sufficient. Therefore, His Divine Grace of the Prabhupada had Harinam initiation to stress the chanting of the holy names, even though technically speaking, it is not necessary to be technically initiated in the chanting of the Lord's holy names. One simply has to hear the holy name from the lips of a pure devotee, and that in itself is initiation. But Prabhupada instituted a ceremony so that people would take it seriously, and also the name giving, so people would change their identification. That's very important, because Sarva Pati Vinira Muktam Tatparatrena Nirmalam Rishikena Shavit Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. It's very important to change your identification. Identification starts with a name. What is your name? Bob. What is your name? Susie. You know, that's... then you're just stuck in your old frame of consciousness. So it's very important to have a name that reminds you of Krishna. Of course, sometimes Prabhupada would give a name of many parts. There was a name of Krishna, but if you just take half the name, it was the name of a demon. It's like there was one name of Krishna called, actually several, Kamsa Nishudana, Kamsa Hari, that means the killer of Kamsa. Kamsa was a demon, in case some of you don't know. And generally the devotees would just take the first part of the name when referring to their friend. Hey, Kamsa. So... but every name should remind us of Krishna, even the name of Kamsa. That's very interesting. And Prabhupada would sometimes give a name like Durga Devi, but Durga is a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these names remind us of pure servants of the Lord or the Lord's activities. Yeah. Yeah, Hayagriva means horse head. The Haya. Anyway, so it's interesting. And the horse head, because the Lord has an incarnation named Hayagriva. And also there was a demon named Hayagriva. It's actually an incarnation where the Lord preached the Vedas, with a horse head, and there was a demon named Hayagriva. Anyway. So it's interesting. So just use the full name when you're referring to someone who has a demon as part of their name. Otherwise, you'd be calling them a servant of a demon. This verse is found in the Pajavali, an anthology of verses compiled by Srila Rupa Goswami. Ataiva yanra mukhe heka krishnanam se tapaisnava kadiha tanhara samana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then finally advised, one who is chanting the Hare Krishna mantra is understood to be a Vaishnava. Therefore, you should offer all respects to him. In his Upadeshamrita, we heard this already in a previous purport, but we'll repeat it again. In his Upadeshamrita number 5, Srila Rupa Goswami states, Krishnetya Shigiritam Manasadriyeta Dikshastichet Pranatibhishcha Vajantamisham. An advanced devotee should respect a person who has been initiated by a bona fide spiritual master and who is situated on the transcendental platform, chanting the holy name with faith and obeisances, and following the instructions of the spiritual master. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur comments that serving Vaishnavas is most important for householders. Now, let me just add something. Serving Vaishnavas is also most important for sannyasis. Sometimes people think, when I take sannyas, everyone will serve me. It will be so nice. I will not have to serve Krishna anymore in a menial way. I will just speak. I do not have to do anything else. Someone will tie my shoes for me. Someone will cook for me. Someone will iron my clothes for me. Ah, this is the life. Now, if one is thinking like that, he is a rascal. Because a sannyasi is meant to be a servant too. Yes, the sannyasi, technically, Varnashram is considered, what? The head of the Varnashram society. So usually, but that's a metaphor. But usually you don't find the head picking up things and cooking. Usually it's the arms. But you don't find the feet picking up things and cooking either. So it's just an analogy, a metaphor to help us understand the different parts of the social body. However, the sannyasi is meant to serve. And Srila Prabhupada's preaching was based upon service. When Prabhupada first went to the United States, he was cooking, he was cleaning, he was taking care of a bunch of not baby babies, but for all intents and purposes, 18, 20-year-old babies. So he was serving. So if someone thinks, sannyas means not to serve anymore, no, sannyas means you roll up your sleeves. I don't even have sleeves to roll up. That's why I'm a sannyasi. So you roll up your sleeves and you just do whatever Krishna wants. If Krishna wants you to plow the fields, like Prabhupada at one point made Jayapataka Maharaj plow the fields in Mayapur with an oxen, not on a tractor, with an oxen. So Prabhupada was showing us that utility is the principle, and a sannyasi has to be ready, basically, not to violate the principles of sannyas, of course, but ready to do anything, cross an ocean, wear Western clothes if necessary, cook, clean the toilets if necessary, do construction if necessary, do the needful. Like Prabhupada said, we should follow his example. His example was giving a class in the morning and going to the bank in the afternoon. What does that mean? That, yes, the sannyasi's duty is to preach. He's the mouth. Not just the feeding mouth, but the speaking mouth about Krishna. That's true. But he should be practical, too. Not some spaced-out character. Sometimes people ask me about, I tell them I drive a car and they say, wow, you actually drive a car. unbelievable, a sannyasi driving a car. Like a sannyasi is supposed to have a chauffeur or something like that. Yeah, I mean, some sannyasis can if they're big shots and it's necessary. You know, there's different situations in India. I do not drive cars anymore. I used to drive a motorcycle in India, but it was terrifying to drive a motorcycle in India. But in America, I drive. You know, I might drive a scooter too. So, so whatever, we just want to serve Krishna. I want to please Krishna. I want to please Prabhupada. And if it pleases Prabhupada for me to sweep the streets or clean the toilets, that's what I'll do. You know, this whole conception that I'm too good to do something because I'm a sannyasi, I'm a guru, I'm a temple president, I'm a whatever you are, you are. Aham Brahmasmi, I'm Brahman. So that's stupid. It has nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. That's an upadhi. Whether a Vaishnava is properly initiated or not is not a subject for consideration. One may be initiated and yet contaminated by the Mayavada philosophy, but a person who chants the holy name of the Lord offenselessly will not be so contaminated. A properly initiated Vaishnava may be imperfect, but one who chants the holy name of the Lord offenselessly is all perfect. So here is reference to the second initiation, the Pancharatriki initiation, not the first initiation, because the first initiation with Prabhupada is done very formally. But really, the first initiation is accomplished, or the initiation into the holy name is accomplished, when you hear the holy name from a pure devotee. For example, in 69, I don't remember when it was, but 1968, I heard the holy name from Srila Prabhupada. And you can say, well, but you didn't get initiated, you didn't get your beer name until January 1971. But when I heard the holy name, in essence, I was initiated. Not in the sense that we consider initiation to be in ISKCON, but I was initiated. I was already following the four regulative principles, although I had not joined a temple. But I, in essence, was initiated by the holy name at that point. So that's really what initiation is. Or in the holy name initiation, Harinam initiation. Although in ISKCON it's done as a formality, which is good and important. Not only important, essential, so that one takes it seriously and one takes a vow to chant a certain number of rounds a day. It is absolutely essential, but it is Prabhupada's adjustment and according to time, place, and circumstance. And it might have been done by some previous acharya. There's some indication that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur on occasion might have done that. But in any case, it's something that's extremely important to hear the holy name from a pure devotee. The Prabhupada says it must be heard, he is Prabhupada's Guru, it must be heard through from the lips of a pure devotee. And that means also you can hear it through a recording, because that's the same thing. Now, sometimes people make propaganda that a recording is not the same. It is. Because a recording, let's say we hear a recording, whether it's digital or tape or something like that, we hear a recording, and it's through a certain mechanism, right? And you say, well, it's not from the lips of the pure devotee. Well, the lips of the body are a mechanism too. There's little muscles there. See muscles? Oh no, you can't see the muscles. There are little muscles that move the mouth, and the tongue is a big muscle. That's a muscle. And actually, for most people who are not Krishna conscious, that muscle, the tongue, controls all the other muscles of the body. It is the strongest muscle in the body. You may not be able to lift 1,000 kilos with it, but you can change the world, you can change your consciousness with that. So it's the strongest muscle. Or it can drag you all over the place. So, anyway, so if we hear a recording or if we hear sitting in the same room, it's still the same exact thing. That's why Prabhupada sometimes would give Gayatri initiation through a tape. Because Prabhupada authorizes, when a pure devotee authorizes something, it becomes authorized. Right? When a pure devotee authorizes something, it becomes authorized. Because Krishna se tamar, Krishna di te par. Krishna belongs to the pure devotee. By the pure devotee's desire, Krishna becomes manifest. By the pure devotee's desire, the deity becomes manifest. You can't have the deity become manifest unless you're a pure devotee. It's not, you know, you do some rituals, you recite some mantras, and bingo, that's what you got. Wrong, buddy. Okay, let's continue. Although he may apparently be a neophyte, he still has to be considered a pure, unalloyed Vaishnava. Wow. But one who chants the holy name of the Lord offensively is all perfect. Of course, that means at least one has to accept a spiritual master, because that's essential, according to Srila Rupa Goswami. However, the second initiation is not essential. Remember that. It is not essential. It helps the holy name. Because the Yuga Dharma, Kali, Kalera, Dharma, Krishna, Nama, Sankirtana, is what? Krishna, Nama, Sankirtana. That's the Yuga Dharma. Remember that. Other things are not the Yuga Dharma. They're helpful to the, they help with the Yuga Dharma. And also, our preaching is to get other people to chant the holy name. If you get other people to chant the holy name, you've got it made. So here. It is the duty of the householder to offer respects to such an unalloyed Vaishnava. It's the duty of everyone. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction. Okay. Kandera Mukunda Dasa Sri Raghunandana Sri Narahariye Mukhya Tina Jana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then turned his attention to three persons, Mukunda Das, Raghunandana, and Sri Narahari, inhabitants of the place called Sri Konda. Mukunda Dasere Puche Sachira Nandana Tumi Pitaputra Tumara Sri Raghunandana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the son of Mother Shachi, next asked Mukunda Das, "You are the father and your son is Raghunandana. Is that so?" Now, this is sort of a tricky question, because Mukunda actually considered his son to be more advanced than him. And he thought, well, he's actually like my father in a spiritual sense. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was testing Mukunda just to see if he's humble enough to reply in the right way. Kiva Raghunandana Pita Tumi Tara Tanaya Nishya Kariya Kaha Yoga Sangshaya. Or Srila Raghunandana, your father, you are a son. Please let me know the facts so that my doubts will go away. Mukunda kahe Raghunandana mora pitahe Amitara putra Eyamara nishchaya. Mukunda replied, "Raghunandana is my father and I am his son. This is my decision." Even though, you know, physically, technically, he was the father and Raghunandana was the son, but because Raghunandana was able to get the deity, and we told the story before, able to get the deity just to come down from the altar and eat directly in front of him by his pure devotion without reciting any of the mantras, then Mukunda understood Raghunandana was a better devotee than him. Amat sabara krishna bhakti raghunandana hite Ataiva Pita Raghunandana Mara Nishchite. All of us have attained devotion to Krishna due to Raghunandana. Therefore, in my mind, he is my father. Shuni Harshe Kahi Prabhu Kahile Nishchaya Yanhaite Krishna Bhakti Se Guru Hearing Mukundadas give this proper decision, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirmed it, saying, "Yes, it is correct. One who awakens devotion to Krishna is certainly the spiritual master." Bhaktera Mahima Prabhu Kahite Payasuka Bhaktera Mahima Kahite Hayapanchamuka. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very happy just to speak of the glories of his devotees. Indeed, when he spoke of their glories, it was as if he had five faces. Bhaktagane Kahishuna Mukundera Prema Nigura Nirmala Prema Yena Dagda Hena Hema, sorry. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then informed all of his devotees, "Please hear about Mukunda's love of Godhead. It is very deep and pure love and can only be compared to purified gold." And so we're going to hear about that tomorrow with this wonderful story that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to tell. So now we'll take some questionitos. So we'll allow you to unmute yourselves or raise your hand or post a text. Here's a question. What if I could not come to the understanding beyond that I was a demon? That's humility. That's pretty good. No. But the identification we should have is that I am a servant of a servant of a servant of the Lord who maintains the gopis and Vrindavan. And all these external designations are a framework in which we can serve Krishna, you know, like man, woman, sannyasi, brahman, brahmachari, whatever. This is just the framework. They're not who we actually are, because the Bhagavad Gita teaches us, nasato vijite bhavo na bhavo vijite sataha ubayo api turishtavantas twanyas tadvadavashabhi, that the sages consider those things which are temporary as not really so important, and those things which are eternal, are real, substantial. Like my soul is important, but this body is changing, endlessly mutable. Every day we look at the body in a mirror and it changes. Ooh, that's terrible. You know, it's like one of my wonderful disciples, he asked me, he said, "Can you send me a picture of yourself when you were young?" So I sent him my baby picture. When I was a little baby. Not I was a baby, but I had a baby's body. So we're not interested in these things, because the body is changing, the soul remains the same. Okay, so who else has a question with bodily identification, with about chanting the Lord's holy names, about initiation? Because we mentioned certain things that may be new to people about initiation. You know, in essence, when you hear the holy name, you know, Brahmanda Brahmate Kanda Vagyavan Jiva Krishna Guru Prasade Bhai Bhakti Latabhij, you get the Bhakti Latabhij. Bhakti Latabhij doesn't wait for initiation, but you should take initiation because that's the process. And that's recommended by the acharyas. And if you don't refuse to take initiation, that means you're committing offenses on chanting. You can't chant purely. All right, so it's a catch-22. I understand. Hare Krishna Gurudev.
Hare Krishna.
No, there's a question someone's asking. Please accept my humble obeisances. What does it mean to follow purely Krishna consciousness? What it means to follow purely Krishna consciousness is to always be thinking, anukulyena krishnanam shilanam bhaktir uttamam. That means to have no other desire than to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, subtle or gross, or desire for liberation, bhakti mukti siddhi kam. That's one thing. And simply do what Krishna wants with a loving spirit. According to Rupa Goswami, that's what it means to follow purely. And then, you know, don't worry about anything else. Don't worry, be happy, you know, say, oh, I have so many material desires. That's all right, just ignore them. It's just the mind. It's just the mind. Understand the difference between the mind and the intelligence. And the intelligence is the form direction of the super soul. So you actually understand what Krishna wants. Use your intelligence. And then, you know, whatever the stupid mind says, you just thought, who cares? It's just like a barking dog. Just like every day I take long walks. Today I took a long walk. I walked 15,509, not miles, but steps. And each step is about 3 feet. So you can understand about 15 miles I walked today. Guess what I do when I chant 64 rounds. So as I was walking, what, there were a lot of barking dogs. America is known for barking dogs. Fiji is known for barking dogs. India is known for, I think barking dogs are an international aspect in this world. Everywhere you go. In Fiji, I was attacked by a dog right next to the temple. Right up the street from the temple, I was attacked by a dog. It tore my dhoti. I was really upset because my dhoti was torn. Anyway, and I had to get shots so that I didn't get hurt or die from the barking of the dog. Anyway, so just like it's barking a dog, I just go on chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So the mind is just going rough, 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 rough. And you just like ignore it. And that's, then you know you have high quality chanting. If you just ignore it, you go on serving in spite of the mind. What is that? Tate na kampam shushamikshmana bunjani bhavna kratam vipakam prindvam bhavurabhir vidadam namaste jiveta yo mukti pade sadayavaki. One goes on serving despite all the disturbances. Then one is a fit recipient or inheritor for pure devotional service. Okay. So, Sumukhi, you had a question. Why don't you unmute yourself?
Yes, Gurudev. Regarding the initiation and going back to Godhead, you discussed in the paper today. In our parampara, I have noticed that we are in Diksha parampara and Siksha parampara as well.
Yes.
Okay. So some taken Siksha from the parampara or some have taken Diksha. So those who taken Siksha in the parampara, were they initiated with some guru or they just take the Siksha parampara?
Someone must be initiated by hearing. We're using initiation in a larger sense. Must be initiated by hearing the holy name from a pure devotee. That's the basic requirement. Okay. But one should take a quote. If one is a follower of Prabhupada, mm-hmm. I'm not referring to those who are not followers of Prabhupada, but if one is a follower of Prabhupada, one should take formal initiation too, as far as the Harinam initiation, because that cements one's connection. In other Gaudiya organizations, Harinam initiation is not considered an initiation. Mm-hmm. Because they only consider what? They only consider the Gayatri Mantra as initiation. You see that often. That's why sometimes people will try to take people away from ISKCON by giving them a spiritual name and then giving them beads. And then we may say, why did you initiate them? They said, we didn't initiate them because it's not initiation. They only consider second initiation to be real initiation. And Prabhupada makes one reference to that too. But as far as we are concerned, we consider the Harinam initiation to be real, and the spiritual master accepts the disciple in the first initiation. And that's, it's like Prabhupada's adjustment and an important adjustment for preaching Krishna consciousness, because Prabhupada understood that the majority of people in this world are not going to be taking second initiation, and he wanted them to be initiated. Mm. So he, because Prabhupada is a world acharya, I mean, this is a really important point. He wanted them to actually be initiated. So Prabhupada instituted this initiation, the Harinam initiation, so that was sufficient for everybody. And in essence, it is sufficient. But Prabhupada instituted a whole ceremony with the yajna, the havan, so that people would actually solidify that connection, the samskara like that. But in essence, hearing the holy name of a pure devotee is initiation. But anyway, whatever other organizations do, that's up to them. I'm not here to criticize other organizations. I'm here to say, if one wants to be connected to Prabhupada, that's how one is connected to Prabhupada. Now, one doesn't. That's fine. I mean, they have every right to be Krishna conscious. There are other bona fide gurus outside of ISKCON. We are not here to criticize anybody. But my whole life is dedicated to Prabhupada and his mission. And his mission is meant to create a revolution in the misdirected lives of the impious civilization, not just a few moths or a few devotees, you know, just a little Krishna Katha here and there. But Prabhupada wanted a spiritual revolution in society, and that's why I am here, to create, help Prabhupada create a spiritual revolution, not just get into, you know, the minutiae of different detail. Minutiae, of course, means a tiny deal to details. Okay?
Another question, Guruji. Regarding, you've spoken about hearing. So, in as a disciple, I hear your lectures and I hear Prabhupada lectures, and I also hear the your Guru brothers' lectures and the disciples' lectures. Is it okay?
Yeah, why not? Anyone who's in the line of Prabhupada, my god brothers are who are within ISKCON are within the line of Prabhupada, and they're serving Prabhupada. And we're all brothers. I mean, it's just like, I mean, I love my brothers. You know, why do we have to make a why do we have to make a distinction? I mean, recently in North Carolina, one of my old dear God brother friends just came to visit me for 5 days, and I was really happy. You know, we need friends. It's not that now that we just need disciples, people who follow like little doggies. Of course you don't, anyway, so that's not sometimes I think that the words submissive disciple are actually a contradiction, because of my experience. You know, actually when the guru says, do this, the disciple should say, okay. The guru says, jump, the disciple should say, how high? But my experience is the disciples say, why? Instead of how high. So anyway, we have different experiences in this world. And, you know, it's one of the austerities of being guru. Like so many times people think you're a guru, you got all these submissive disciples who are just throwing money at you or something like that. But if you look at all the people that Prabhupada initiated, which is well over 5,000, there's barely a few hundred that are still following. I mean, they're practically all of them except Krishna, but as far as following with the chanting and the rules and regulations like that. And people come up with so many bogus philosophies too. I mean, I just heard one person who's a so-called member of ISKCON present some tantric practice as an important practice in ISKCON, you know, like left-handed tantric practice. So anyway, whatever, I mean, Prabhupada said not to be surprised with who leaves, be surprised with who stays, and we should be ready to shed gallons of blood to keep people Krishna conscious and to bring people to Krishna conscious. So here's another question. Hare Krishna Maharaj, my question is, what language is used in Goloka Vrindavan? Spanish. Did you know? Yeah, Spanish they speak. So anyway, so as you learn Spanish, then you learn the language of Goloka Vrindavan. No, actually, it's like Brajavas. It's a special language in Vrindavan. It's like Sanskrit, but it's a very, very special language. And I do not know it. right now, or maybe I've forgotten it or whatever, but that's what they speak. They speak love of Krishna in any language. It's not important the language anyway. The important is the love. Like Krishna understands all the languages. It's described when Krishna went to school. He went to school only for 64 days. I wish I could have done that. In 64 days, he learned everything. In one day, he actually learned all the languages, including the languages of the birds and the monkeys and the trees and all the other languages. Krishna was a polyglot. Now, for those of you who don't know what polyglot means one who speaks many languages. But Krishna spoke every single dialect language. I mean, if Krishna was here, he is here. But if we could hear Krishna, Krishna would be speaking in Spanish, Portuguese, Italian, Russian, Chinese. And Krishna's an expert linguist. That's one of his qualities. Okay, I think it's time to end now. So we'll see everybody tomorrow evening. Tomorrow evening is Sunday here. And I think in the next day or two, we'll be telling people when we'll be having the different ceremonies for the Vyasa Puja so that everybody in the world can participate at a different time. And I know that some places they're having a different day, so I'll have to accommodate that. It's an austerity, but it's part of my service. So here's a question. When my husband, wow, look at this long question. When my Hare Krishna Gurudev, I have been initiated by Aditya Narayan. Anyway, he gave you the holy day. I was not following regular principles. I was not aware. I took a vow, but I did not continue acting. I lost the job for cheating Krishna. Eventually, I started volunteering the day. I had no answer for viewers. My husband asked me, why do I have a certain number of rounds? I started working again, some days 12 hours a day. I'm not being consistent with my rounds. Can you guide me how to increase my chanting consistently? That's actually a very good question. How can you increase your chanting or stick with? First of all, pick a number that you can stick with. Now, we do a certain number of rounds because we need a certain amount of purification. Just like if someone asks you, why do you eat a certain amount of food? You have a certain amount of food. I mean, you know, actually with food you can eat too much, but with chanting you can't chant too much. But anyway, it's a metaphor to help you understand. So I need a certain amount of food. If I eat less, then I become weak. Simple as that. You know, someone could say, I mean, like it's Ekadasi today, okay. My experience is, if I fast completely on Ekadasi, all I can do is lay on my back, can't concentrate, and I can't read, and I can just barely chant. Okay, so I have to eat a certain amount of food. I cooked today, I ate a certain amount of food, very simple, no grains, no beans, you know, same thing, Ekadasi, and I had the energy to walk a tremendous amount and chant 66 or 68 or whatever amount of rounds I chanted today and do all the other service that I normally do. Answer emails and read. So I need a certain amount of food. So we need a certain, Prabhupada understood, we need a certain amount of purification just to keep us on the path. 16 is just to keep us on the path. And if we chant more, then we go faster on the path. It's like charging your batteries. Like I drive an electric car, and I have to charge them to a certain extent to reach my next destination. I know when I'm taking a long trip, the car tells me, you better charge, because if you run out of charge, you will be out of luck. And the next charging station is so-and-so, so I have to stop at the charging station. And if I don't stop at the charging station, I'm finished. Anyway, so that's why we chant a certain number of rounds. How to become consistent in your chanting? Very easy to become consistent. Wake up early. have a certain time for chanting where you don't do anything else, and usually you shouldn't do it in your bedroom or even in the place where you study or even the place where you do other things. And chanting should be done in a special place. Most people have a puja room in their house. I walk, because if I'm in my house, I'm going to get diverted with everything that I have to do, so many responsibilities. And today I clean my clothes, I did so many things. So, in other words, you have to have a certain time for chanting. Okay, that's the answer. Since you usually don't eat grains or beans on most days, what do you with what do you end your ekadasi? The next day, the ekadasi vrata, I'll take a little piece of grain just to break the ekadasi. You don't need to eat a whole bunch to break the ekadasi. You don't need like a mountain. You know, people think they need a mountain of food to break the ekadasi. They need like a whole oats is the grain. Anyway, whatever grain I use. I mean, whether I take one piece of rice, broken rice, and throw it in my mouth. Doesn't even have to be cooked. But you were thinking that means a grain feast the next day. Fill your belly. That's the goal. You're the body, not the soul. So that's how we do it. Anyway, and sometimes I eat grains on non-Kaddish days. But I understand what's needful to keep body and soul together. Anyway, we have to end. I see more questions, but I have to end now because it is... Oh no, another question. Is it okay to sleep in late because my body is tired and says I need more sleep? And is it okay to feel guilty if I take extra sleep sometimes? Yeah, I mean, you have to do the needful. If you're so tired, well, your body says you need more sleep, you know whether you need more sleep, because if you don't get enough rest, if you're driving a car, you can smash. So, you know, you have to function at the peak of your efficiency. And so that's what I try to do. I take enough rest, and sometimes you take extra during the day. It's fine to take extra sleep. Whatever you need, it's practical. Take whatever you need as far as food. Take whatever you need as far as sleep. Just whatever maximizes your Krishna consciousness. And, you know, you don't want to be like walking around like a zombie because you don't have enough sleep. I mean, that's what would happen with me. And, you know, I'll take extra sleep. And if I don't need, I won't take extra sleep. Anyway, it's life. It's like a machine. Sometimes, you know, especially if an older machine, you need more service to it. When a car breaks down, a car gets older, you need actually to do more things. You got to change the tires, too. So I have to change my tires. Okay, so it's time for me to go. See everybody later. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. See everybody tomorrow evening.